Hello, I'm Rami, your favorite host to learn about health in a fun way. If you've forgotten where you are, this is the podcast, What the Health. And once again, I have Andrea with me for this episode.
Hello again. Very excited to share this week's episode with you.
I'm sure you already know about this, especially if you're one of our regular listeners, but just in case, access to healthcare and health as a right look very different for a man than a woman. Right? Right. Good. Because apparently some researchers sometimes forget about that.
But we're here to remind them and you that change needs to happen. We frequently find research studies about health issues that don't distinguish between men and women. And that's a problem when we start thinking about the results. How can we make comprehensive policies to address health issues that women face if we don't have a good starting point?
You know, check this out. I have some data ready. In cardiovascular diseases alone, did you know that men and women have different symptoms, right? So it actually shows itself very differently. And what's worse is that the response to the medicine is also different. Whoa. In conclusion, just not paying attention to biological differences is a huge problem.
There's just so much to do in regard to gender and health. Not only that, there are still a lot of sociocultural differences that cause discrimination, and of course, this can end up affecting health too. I'm pretty sure that you know by now, everything has an impact on health.
There are just so many different sociocultural differences that are subtle, but they have grave consequences. For example, let's think about the simple act of walking, right? In some countries, women have a greater difficulty walking in the streets or catching public transportation. And skipping this small form of exercise affects women's health. And let alone, let's think about it, if you just need to take private transportation everywhere, I mean, hey, hella expensive.
Yeah, and that's if you can afford it. Take a look at this. In European countries, only 55% of women feel safe walking alone at night as opposed to 82% of men. This fear alone of any form of assault largely affects women's health, and that could pose long-term health effects.
You know, I know a friend in Egypt who stood up to this problem. Her name is Nadine Ashraf. She created an awesome Instagram account and in less than a year has had 269,000 followers. And now they're educating people about sexual assault and mental health and offering lawyers advice. And hey, most importantly, they're pushing this conversation into the spotlight.
Ah, yeah, I heard of her. She was in the New York Times for her great work on the Me Too movement in Egypt. You know, it's women like her that needs to be in positions of leadership and create lasting change. It's wild. Women serve as heads of state or government in only 22 countries, and 119 countries have never had a female leader, including my own country. We still have a lot of work that needs to be done.
So now we know how we need to reduce the gender gap, at least in health. We need more women in more leadership positions. Another crazy piece of information, right?
Yeah, today is just full of surprises. And hold on, I have another crazy piece of data. Did you know that women are more interested than men to work in global health? In a study conducted by Cornell University, 70% of students interested in global health, wait for it, they're women.
Whoa. I mean, let's sum it up, right? We have an important topic of discussion here. I mean, it's pretty clear to me. Women want to work on this, and the world needs more women to work on it. So then, why doesn't it happen? Ugh. So very few women are actually in high positions of global health. For example, in the continent of Africa alone, only 25% of the ministers of health are women. But that's not an anomaly, because in the US, the great majority of health centers are actually led by men, and only about 24% of them are led by women.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this isn't unique to the public health sector. It's not that easy to make it to those leadership positions, especially when you factor in those gender prejudices and stereotypes. This may be more evident in low-income countries, but of course, it also happens in high-income countries as well.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, a lot of people went to college. So let's pick something that's easy for people to just get, right? There was a university in the US which studied the perceptions of professionals about men and women in health. So they say that the teachers and the professors tended to actually see the men as more competent than the women, even if they had equal level of qualifications. And they found that the male and female professors actually had the same prejudices. So there was not a big difference between them.
That's unbelievable, and unfortunately not surprising either. Another big problem is that when you are a woman, at some point you need to choose between your professional career and having kids. And it shouldn't be that way at all. Women working in science have on average less kids than men working in the same field, and they tend to admit that they would have liked to have more.
If we also look at the type of jobs where you spend a lot of time abroad, right, global health is, you know, one of those that top the list. And so the problem is even bigger than we expect.
In conclusion, everything is a mess, a real mess. However, I see a world full of opportunities to improve. Think about it. We can start to guarantee the safety of women.
There shouldn't be a choice between being a mother and having a professional career.
And research studies can start pointing out key differences between men and women and different approaches to public health solutions.
You know what? I see where you're getting at. And with that, we finish another episode of What the Health, the podcast where young people who want to change the world start to have dynamic conversations about the problems of the world. We hope we inspire you to join us.
Rami, don't forget to share our social media.
Oh yeah, that's true. The writers would have killed me. Do follow us on social media. I'm just asking, okay, because I find it weird that we have about 30 million listeners on our podcast and only 100 on our social media. So if you're not following us, you know, it's fine. We still love you. Maybe a little less than the people who follow us. But hey, we still kind of love you.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Gens for Health. Connect with us.
And to finish, you know that if you have something to say or you want to send us another research maybe that was made in the United States that we're using so quite often to share with you, hey, let us know in the social media or on our email, generationsforhealth@gmail.com.
And if you don't have anything to say, you know that Rami loves talking, so you can just say hello and he'll take care of the rest. Also, we wanted to give a special thanks to our podcast team for making these conversations possible.
Andrea, we have to leave to prepare for next week's interview.
Oh yeah, true. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.
And stay healthy.